Good evening, everyone. You're listening to UR Radio at Western North Carolina Community Media Center. And I hope you stay with us for the next hour as we explore the teachings of various enlightened ones. Our show is called Conscious Co-Creating, Tools to Empower You. And I hope you join us every Thursday evening from 8 to 9 Eastern. I'm Louisa Dyer, a holistic counselor and metaphysical author, and a Western North Carolina native, I'm happy to say. And if you'd like to know more about who I am, feel free to visit my website at louisadyer.com or louisadyer.net. And in the second half of this show, you're welcome to submit questions or comments through the Facebook page for Conscious Co-Creating Online Radio, and I will do my best to respond during the show. My intention with this show is to share the many tools that are available to help us thrive instead of just survive. And if you're interested in personal growth or spiritual evolution, or if you just want a life that's filled with more joy and peace, more happiness, then it's very clear that you can have it. We have a lot of tools that are available. There's a number of sages on the planet that are uplifting us all with their level of consciousness. And quite a few of them are writing beautiful books that help us if we just pay attention to them. And hopefully what we discuss tonight will inspire you to begin living the life that you've longed for, even more than you have been already. And over the next few months, we're going to be exploring the work of some of my favorite teachers, Dr. David Hawkins, Byron Katie, Eckhart Tolle, and Michelle Wright of Paralandra. All have their own websites, and all have contributed so much to humanity. And if you visit their websites, you can sort of get a clue about what they have contributed and just the amazingness of all of that. The first three that I mentioned there, David Hawkins, Byron Katie, and Eckhart Tolle, are all three very clearly enlightened beings. And Michelle Wright of Paralandra has actually developed methods of communicating directly with nature intelligence. And that is an incredibly powering way to live your life. It's also a very self-sufficient way to greatly improve your health and your vitality on every level, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. And so we're going to be talking about a little bit more about David Hawkins tonight. What we've done for the last few weeks is talk a lot about David Hawkins, and in particular his discovery and very well researched, knowing that all truth is knowable. And what we've looked at the last couple of weeks is how to actually present questions so that we get accurate answers. And that's something that I've been working with myself and with other people since 1980. And so we've talked a lot about that for the last couple of weeks. And we also last week talked some about the map of consciousness that Hawkins created. And that shows the power levels, the actual level of consciousness of various emotions, attitudes, states of beings. In essence, it's a way to measure the consciousness level of anything. So any teacher or any teaching, any project, any book, you can actually determine how powerful that thing or that person or that teaching really is. And the other thing that the map of consciousness really shows is that it actually explains why happiness is directly correlated with raising one's consciousness level. It's really a map of power, and that's what we're going to be discussing tonight and focusing on. So many people talk about wanting to be empowered and how you empower yourself, and I tell you, just really studying the map of consciousness is a way to understand what real power is and how to empower yourself. And for those of you who don't know, let me just say a little bit about David Hawkins, who he is. He's an enlightened being. He's also a scientist. He has a list of accomplishments and honors, seriously, that would take hours to read. But he is also the founding director of the Institute for Spiritual Research, which is in Sedona. And he is the founder of the Path of Devotional Non-Duality, which is a spiritual path with millions of practitioners worldwide. And Dr. Hawkins has lectured actually all over the world, at such places as Westminster Abbey, the Universities of Notre Dame, Argentina, Harvard. He's conferred with many foreign governments on international diplomacy issues, and he's actually been instrumental in resolving long-standing global conflicts. Mother Teresa actually acknowledged him as an enlightened being. And he's now in his 80s, and he keeps a demanding schedule. And people come from all over the world just to be in David Hawkins' presence. And I had the good fortune of being able to have a conversation with him in a very brief interview a number of years ago. And my experience of him is that he's the only person I've met, and I've met some supposed gurus and pretty highly consciously evolved people. But with David Hawkins, it's as though you see all the way through him. There was no ego there whatsoever. There was just this clarity, this clearness, it was really quite incredible to talk with him. He laughs a lot. He's a little gnome of a guy. And people literally, they come from all over the world just to get this transmission from him. Because not only do you have the sense that you're looking all the way through him, but it's as though he's looking all the way through you too. And he doesn't see your ego. He doesn't see your pain body. He doesn't see all the angst or whatever that you carry around. He just sees you as a being of light. And that's a pretty powerful feeling in and of itself. What David Hawkins is probably most well known for, other than the spiritual path of devotional non-duality, is a series of books that he wrote, beginning with Power versus Force. And Power versus Force has sold millions of copies all over the world. It's been published actually in 25 languages. And it's done all that with no advertising whatsoever. It is spread by word of mouth and by people who know his teachings. What Power versus Force does, it's a really profound book. And it explores this whole reality that all truth is knowable. It explores how there is no such thing as causality. And what it really does is analyze the basic nature of human thought and actually of consciousness itself. And in the book, he shows very clearly how to instantly determine the truth or falsehood of any statement, any teaching, any supposed fact, anything that is or has ever been. And you do that through kinesiology. And that is not something I'm going to try to teach you here on the radio, except to say that you can learn how to do it in all sorts of places. In the book Power versus Force, it's pretty clearly explained. Michelle Wright of Paralandra also very clearly explains it in her books and actually shows you how to do it with yourself instead of with another person. If you Google behavioral kinesiology, for example, what you'll discover is that there are whole schools that are simply devoted to learning how to use behavioral or applied kinesiology. And basically all that is muscle testing. And the basic idea is, you know, you test a substance or an idea or a belief, and if it's true, the muscle stays strong. If it's beneficial, if it's true or beneficial, then the muscle stays strong. If it's not true or it's detrimental, then the muscle goes weak. And this behavioral kinesiology has been around for a really long time. I first discovered it in the 70s with chiropractors who used it a lot. And what David Hawkins did is he took behavioral kinesiology a lot further, because initially it was just about determining what was good for the body. And what Hawkins did is he discovered that there's really like this field of consciousness that surrounds everything. And that what kinesiology or muscle testing is actually doing is reading that field of consciousness. And so from that discovery, Hawkins actually discovered and documented this measurable database of different states of consciousness and the power that's within each one of those. And that's what the map of consciousness is. It's a really easy to understand and a very practical map of the actual energy fields that surround everything that exists. And of course, the map of consciousness is available through David Hawkins. And basically what it is, if you get it through them, it's quite beautiful. It has the colors on it that correlate with, you know, from the root chakra all the way up to the crown chakras, but so it's a very pretty thing to look at. But really what the map of consciousness is doing is it's showing you the energy levels within particular emotions, within particular worldviews, and the emotions that correspond with that. And I'm going to read a little bit. This is actually something that's written on the back of the map of consciousness that I ordered from David Hawkins. And I'm just going to read some of this. It says, over 250,000 kinesiologic calibrations, meaning 250,000 muscle testing, okay? Over 250,000 kinesiologic calibrations spanning a 20-year study conducted by the Institute of Advanced Spiritual Research have defined a range of values corresponding to well-recognized attitudes and emotions. With an arbitrary scale of 1 to 1,000, Dr. David Hawkins displays the classifications of these energy fields to make them easily comprehensible. And the basic energy fields go from basically from 1 to 1,000. And 1,000 is the highest that a human being can assimilate. It's thought, although I'm not sure if this has been tested and proven, but that calibration level of 1,000 is the greatest level of power that the human nervous system can actually accommodate. And so at that level of 1,000, you have enlightenment. Actually, from 600 to 1,000 is actually called enlightenment. And at 1,000, that's where people like Jesus, Buddha, Krishna, the really profound teachers and sages that have been in our world, that's where they calibrate, is up at that very, very, very high level. At the level of 600 on this map of consciousness is what people worldwide think of as enlightenment. It's at that level of 600 where ego is no more, where you become willing or able really to be one with God and all that is. And down on the other end of that map of consciousness is, like at 20, for example, is shame. At 30 is guilt. At 50 is apathy. And so the lower end of the map of consciousness is what we think of, what Eckhart Tolle would call the pain body, what we think of as negative emotions, difficult emotions. And as you go up on that map of consciousness at the level of 200, that's the level of courage. That's the level where you can begin to tell the difference between truth and falsehood. And so on this chart, everything that calibrates above 200, if you muscle tested it, would test it true. Anything that calibrated below 200 on this chart would test as not true, because it doesn't have enough power in it to test as true, and it's actually detrimental to life instead of beneficial for life. And so we're going to take a little music break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about this map of consciousness. And the reason I'm talking about it is because it really is about power. And if what we want to have is power, and if what we want to have is joy, and if what we want to have is peace, then actually just looking at and thinking about this map of consciousness shows us a very clear path for actually moving toward and moving into a state of consciousness where we have the power to experience, to actually recognize what it is that we want, and then choose what we experience based on that. And so that's a really powerful understanding that, first of all truth is knowable, and there's a very simple way of knowing that, and that's called muscle testing or kinesiology, and that literally everything in the world can be measured to tell what's the level of power or the level of truth. So, for example, if a book that you were reading calibrated a level of 220 and another book that you were wanting to read calibrated a level of 500, what you would know is that you would be much more inspired and your consciousness would be much more raised by reading the book that calibrated at a 500 instead of at 220. 500, by the way, on the map of consciousness, is the calibration of love. And we're going to talk a lot more about that in just a moment. So what we're going to do here is we're going to have a little music break to actually activate the right side of the brain, which is a very important thing to do. And what we're going to hear is Billy McLaughlin, a beautiful tune by him, a guitar tune called Into the Light. And so enjoy. I'll see you in a few moments. Here I am back again, and I have absolutely no idea of what I've been saying and if whether I should repeat it. I suppose not, since, anyway, I do apologize. That was pretty, wonder where that was on the map of consciousness. I can tell you where I am now on the map of consciousness, and that's at a place of forgiving myself for not knowing the how to work the technology better, and that puts me in a place of acceptance. And that actually on the scale of consciousness calibrates at about a level of 350. At the level of 350 is where we begin to be able to really feel empathy or compassion for other people. And at that level of 350, we begin to be able to forgive. We begin to have a harmonious sense of life. And it's not far from there, really, to get to the level of 400, which is the level of reason. And that's really an incredible level, because at the level of 400, when we calibrate at that level for ourselves, we're much, much happier than, say, when we calibrate at a level of 300. The 300s are all about being ruled by emotionality. The 400s are about being ruled by rationality, by reason. And, of course, when you get to the level of 500 on this map of consciousness, you're at the level of love. And at 540 is unconditional love, and that is a very, very, very powerful place to be. So just looking at this map of consciousness gives us a lot of compassion, because when somebody is stuck at a particular level of consciousness, they are not stuck there by conscious choice. They're there because that is the level of power that is available to them. And on this scale from 1 to 1,000, if you've got a power of 20, where shame is, and you don't have the power of even truth or courage until 200, you can see that there simply isn't the energy at that level. That's why we need someone to help us pull us out of that level. So in creating this map of consciousness, Hawkins did hundreds of thousands of calibrations to arrive at where all these different human emotions and states of being and people and everything else calibrated at. And one of the things that he discovered that was very interesting was that actually in 1985, when Power versus Force was first published, 85% of the world's population, on average, 85% of the world's, of the human population, was below the level of 200. 85%. By the time the second book in that series, The Eye of the Eye, was published, it had dropped to 78. And that's, as far as I know, from the latest things I've read from Hawkins, that's where we are right now, is that 78% of humans calibrate below the level of 200. The overall average level of human consciousness is 205 on this map of consciousness. And until 1986, the overall level was below 200. In 1986, it jumped to 207. It has since moved back down to 205. And I'm thinking the last thing I read from Hawkins was that that's where the human level of consciousness is. And that's an amazingly hopeful, wonderful, brilliant place for us to be, because that means that humanity as a whole is now able, beginning to be able, to know the difference between truth and falsehood. And so the power of those few individuals that calibrate 700 and above, they counterbalance the weakness of the masses that are below the level of 200. There are 4% of the population that's at 5% above, or 500 or above, meaning that 4% of the population actually calibrates at the level of love. That's a wonderful thing. It doesn't seem like a lot in one sense, but in another sense, when you understand that one person calibrating at a level of love, at a level of 500 on this map of consciousness, counteracts like 700,000 people who calibrate below the level of 200 on this scale. And so that's one of the reasons that Hawkins and every other spiritual teacher that has been throughout time has made it very clear that everything you do to raise your own level of consciousness actually raises the level for all of humanity. And it's very important also to realize that on this map of consciousness, it's a logarithmic scale, not an arithmetic scale. So the actual level of 300 is not twice the amplitude of 150, but it's rather 300 to the 10th power. So 150 to the 10th power. 300 to the 10th power is not twice as much as that. It's way more than that. And so what that means, the power and the beauty and the love in that, is that an increase of only a few points in your consciousness level, if you move from, example, a level of courage into a level of willingness, you have really raised your consciousness level a great deal. And there's a beautiful quote that's in The Eye of the Eye, which is the second book of this Hawkins series, that says all fear is fallacious and not based on truth. Fear is overcome by walking directly through it until one breaks through into the joy that the fear is blocking. And that's really what you can see in the map of consciousness, that this power, this love, this peace, this joy, this oneness that enlightenment is always right here. It's always completely available. And it's just a matter of having the courage to know the truth, which automatically brings you up out of whatever negative emotion that you're in. If you can have the courage to know the truth about what you're feeling or thinking, and you can be willing to let whatever is negative go and to reach for something that's higher than that, then you actually raise your own consciousness level in that moment. It's really a quite phenomenal thing. And so just looking at this map of consciousness is something that I highly recommend. It can not only generate a great deal of compassion and empathy in you for everybody else around you when you notice that they're stuck in a particular place that doesn't feel good for them, but also for yourself. And I'm going to read another quote here, and this is from the Power versus Force book, and it's about the map of consciousness. And the quote here says, "The critical response point in the scale of consciousness calibrates at level 200, which is the level associated with integrity and courage. All attitudes, thoughts, feelings, associations, entities, or historical figures below that level of calibration makes a person go weak. Those that calibrate higher make subjects go strong. This is the balance point between weak and strong attractors, between negative and positive influence. At the levels below 200, the primary impetus is personal survival, although at the very bottom of the scale, the zone of hopelessness and depression, even this motive is lacking. The higher levels of fear and anger are characterized by egocentric impulses arising from this desire and this drive for personal survival. At the level of pride, the survival motive may expand to comprehend the survival of others as well. And as one crosses that demarcation between negative and positive influence into courage, the well-being of others becomes increasingly important. By the 500 level, the happiness of others emerges as the essential motivating force. The high 500s are characterized by interest in spiritual awareness for both oneself and others. And by the 600s, the good of mankind and the search for enlightenment are the primary goals. From 700 to 1,000, life is dedicated to the salvation of all of humanity." And in one of the, that's the end of that quote, in one of the later books that Hawkins wrote, I'm not sure which one it was, he talks about the fact that in 1985, when Power versus Force was published, there were 12 sages on the planet. That is 12 people who calibrated at the level of 600 or above. And now there are 22 sages on the planet, meaning those who calibrate, those who are enlightened, meaning there is no ego. They have evolved. Their consciousness has evolved beyond the state of getting trapped in what Eckhart Tolle would call the pain body or the ego. And so the goal here is to raise ourselves up, because what's been shown, and this has been shown in many ways, but in Hawkins' research, they looked at it directly, that as your consciousness level rises, so too does your level of happiness. So too does your level of peace. So too does your level of feeling right with yourself and right with the world. Actually, there's a quote about that on page 71 in Power versus Force. Hawkins says, "As one advances in the evolution of his individual consciousness, the process starts to perpetuate and correct itself so that self-improvement becomes a way of life." And, you know, I think we all know people who you can see that spirituality and personal growth, that's like who they are. That's what they do. That's what their life is about. And somehow, it really helps when you look at this map of consciousness in releasing some of that incredible sense of harsh self-judgment that we have. And Hawkins sort of makes a point about this. Again, this is in Power versus Force. He says, the empathy derived from contemplating this map of consciousness will hopefully make the path to joy a shorter one. The key to joy is unconditional kindness to all life, including one's own, which we refer to as compassion. Without compassion, little of any significance was ever accomplished in human endeavor. We may generalize to the greater social context from individual therapies, wherein the patient can't be truly cured or fundamentally healed until he invokes the power of compassion, both for himself and others. At that point, the healed may become a healer. I think that happens to a lot of people, fortunately. We're going to take another little music interlude here. I'm going to play a little Cyndi Lauper for you, Time After Time. And hopefully this time we won't have dead air when I come back on.
Confusion is nothing new. Flashback, one.
You're listening to UR Radio. This is Louisa Dyer. And our show is Conscious Co-Creating, Tools to Empower You. And that, of course, was Cyndi Lauper, singing Time After Time. We've been talking about David Hawkins and his map of consciousness, which he explains at great length in the book Power Versus Force. And I sort of wanted to close up this segment that we've been doing about Hawkins and talk a little bit about the path of the spiritual path that he created and has millions and millions and millions of people worldwide follow this path of devotional non-duality that David Hawkins has created and works with people around. And that quote really, it's not really a quote. It's just a little bit about what that is and where David Hawkins spends a great deal of his time. And so I will, I'm just going to read something that was out of one of the workshops that was on that. The teachings of devotional non-duality emphasize the core truths of the world's great spiritual traditions, kindness and compassion to everything and everyone, including oneself, humility, forgiveness, reverence for all of life, and surrender to God. It is a direct path to enlightenment in which each internal progression of love and integrity uplifts the whole of existence. Hawkins says, "We change the world not by what we say or do, but as a consequence of what we have become." And that's a beautiful thing to understand, that you can do all the good deeds you want, but if inside you're a seething mass of fear or confusion or hate, then you really have not uplifted yourself or humanity. If you rest for 1 second in a state of bliss, in a state of beauty, in a state of joy, then not only are you uplifting your own level of consciousness, which has proven highly beneficial to the physical body, as well as to the emotional state and the mental processing, not only are you uplifting yourself, but a moment spent in joy, in true peace, in true presence of beauty, love, you are literally uplifting the whole of humanity as you are uplifting yourself. And that's the way that the universe actually works. One of the things that David Hawkins understands very clearly is quantum physics, and a lot of the work that he does is based on that understanding. One of the things I love to say the best about quantum physics is that it finally proved what mystics and shamans have known forever, and that is that everything in the universe is made of the same energy. Everything in the universe comes from the same place and is going back to the same place. There's only one energy, in fact, in the whole universe, and we're all part of that, and it's all part of us. And because humans have free will, we can get in our way. We can decide that we're going to be a victim. We can decide that we're going to, you know, be in a bad mood. We can also decide to empower ourselves. We can also decide to have the courage to face the truth and be willing to have a different perspective. And as we do that, we raise our own consciousness level. And that is a very beautiful, wonderful, amazing thing. And so I think that's where we're going to leave the discussion for now. About David Hawkins and the Power Versus Force series. I will just say again that it is an amazing series of books, and the Power Versus Force has been translated into 25 languages, has sold millions and millions and millions of copies with no advertising whatsoever because of the power. Actually, on this map of consciousness, the book Power Versus Force actually calibrates up in the 800s somewhere. And the second book in that series, The Eye of the Eye, actually calibrates in the 900s, which is just like unbelievable, unheard of. That's really and truly phenomenal. However, you can find out what anything in the world that you want to know calibrates at. What's the level of power? What's the level of truth in anything you want to know? That is possible. And David Hawkins tells you how to do that. Michelle Wright also tells you how to do that of Paralandra. In a very completely, totally different way. But anyway, so I think next week what we're going to do is we're going to talk about Byron Katie. And I don't know, first of all, I want to say thank you to the viewers who came back after I had my little silent space there and didn't get know how to get back on the radio. So thank you for coming back. And next week we're going to begin a discussion about Byron Katie. And for any of you who don't know who she is, she's been in Asheville numerous times, and she does workshops all over the world, actually. And she was a woman who had an awakening experience in 1986 and went from being, by her own admission, a very, very, very miserable, distressed and miserable human being into waking up and understanding that, you know, basically she woke up and she didn't have an ego. And over a period of time, she came to see how it was that she awakened. And so she's written a lot of books. I think the first book was called Loving What Is. The second book was called I Need Your Love, Is That True? And the third book of hers, which is my favorite book, is called A Thousand Names for Joy. And it's just really a book where her husband is actually, I forgot the guy's name now. He translated the Tao Te Ching, Michael Stevens? Stephen Michaels? I'm not sure. Mitchell? Anyway. He reads quotes out of the Tao to Katie, and then she talks about what that means sort of in modern, everyday language. And so really what her third book is, A Thousand Names for Joy, is her expression of what it's like to live in that state of unconditional love and how she loves everything. Everything. She loves everything. There's nothing that can happen that she doesn't love. And that's a pretty phenomenal place to be. And so basically, for those of you who don't know, Katie's work, her website is literally thework.com, and that's what she calls everything she does. And it's basically four questions and a turnaround, and supposedly you can resolve every challenge, every problem, anything you've ever had by doing this process. And the work is powerful. It's amazing. Being with Katie is powerful and amazing because the love that she is literally just comes out of her. It oozes out of her. It flows out of her. It's like she's a walking miracle to be around, and the happiness and the joy and the beauty. And so I think that's where we're going to go next week. We're going to talk about Byron Katie's understanding about what it means to love what is, about what it is to be willing to do inquiry with your own mind. It's sort of, you have to be at the level of courage on Hawkins' scale of consciousness to be able to do Katie's work, because you have to be willing to inquire about your own thinking. But the joy of doing that is once you inquire of your own thinking, what you discover is that everything that, all the suffering that you experience comes from what you think. And when you inquire into what you think, you discover that your suffering is coming from thinking that isn't true. And so the inquiry gives your brain a way to simply let go what isn't true and come back into truth, which is in itself enlightening and beautiful and wonderful and makes you very happy. So I look forward to next week, and I'm going to end the show tonight, and I believe this is going to be my theme song from here on out. It's a song called Your Dreams. Your Dreams Brought You Here by a group called Here to Here, one of my favorite groups. They're highly conscious and they rock and they're just amazing. And for the next hour, I'm also going to be playing some really great music. And I hope to see you next week. Again, you're listening to UR Radio. This is Louisa Dyer. And you can visit me on my website, louisadyer.com, or you can visit the Conscious Co-Creating online radio page on Facebook, and I would love to interact with you. And please do join me next Thursday evening at 8 Eastern, and I look forward to it. Take good care and listen to the words of this song. I think you will really love it. Your dreams brought